Shalom and welcome to another in our series of podcasts from Temple Beth Am, a dynamic center for conservative Judaism in Los Angeles. This is a recording of Rabbi Avi Havivi's weekly Sidur class.
Here's what we're going to do just to look ahead today. We're going to talk about Ma'oz Sur. We will meet next week, December 19th, and we're going to sort of, next week we're just going to do review and wrap up of all of the Bible stuff that we've done for a good several months. And then we're going to take a break for 4 weeks, holiday. I'm doing some travel. I don't want to teach the day I come back from travel. So we'll take 4 Tuesdays off and we will resume, God willing, on January 23rd. Okay. And I'll remind you of all that next week. So today we're going to look at Ma'oz Sur. Really interesting piece of liturgy. We're definitely not going to get to go through all of it carefully because it's much too long. And I want to show you some interesting, more modern stuff related to it. Ma'oz Sur is a very general term. Piyut, meaning it is a piece of liturgical poetry. It's a piece of poetry written for purposes of being used in the liturgy, as opposed to reading it at a poetry slam or something like that. And we're familiar with lots of other piyutim in our Sidur, Yigdal, Adon Olam, El Adon on Shabbat morning, Anim Zmirot, all of this Zmirot for Shabbos, Lechadodi, many of those things that we do on high holidays, and writing of liturgical poetry, Hebrew poetry for purposes of use in the liturgy, was something that was very popular for hundreds of years. It's now mostly fallen out of favor in terms of new writing. There's still some Sephardic communities where piyutim have been created in the 20th century. I know we're in the 21st century, but Ma'oz Sur has the full Ma'oz Sur has 6 verses. We're going to look at the 6 verses. For reasons, I don't know, I guess people didn't know Hebrew. The sort of other 5 verses have fallen into neglect in general in the liberal American Jewish communities, but a lot of traditional Jews still sing all 6 verses. One of them is about Hanukkah. Ma'oz Sur probably, as you'll see, originally doesn't seem to have been a particular Hanukkah piyut, okay? Probably wasn't written for Hanukkah. Most scholars think it was written in the wake of the Crusades, 12th century, 13th century, something like that. We'll talk about the melody. We'll talk about Rock of Ages. We'll get to all that, I promise. Okay. Now I am going to screen share. And this document will be, as per usual, God willing, attached by Bert to the class when you see it, if you look at it, hopefully later today. Okay. So, I have here Ma'oz Sur, all 6 verses. It's very hard Hebrew. So, the middle 4 for sure, I'm just going to rush through and not go through word for word. I have a translation for you here. Okay. This translation is one that I got last night off the OU website. So I haven't edited it and I think it's, you know, a little bit stuffy, but reasonably accurate, okay? Rock of Ages is not reasonably accurate as a translation of Ma'oz Sur. All right, so I will go through the first verse just so people loosely understand it. Ma'oz Sur Yeshuati, strong rock of my salvation. L'chana el shabeach, it's good to praise you. Tikon beit tefilati, may my house of prayer get established, become established, future. Visham toda nizabeach, and there we will sacrifice the Thanksgiving sacrifice. So this first 2 lines is a prayer for what to happen in the future. What's my house of prayer? Temple Beth Am?
Beit Mikdash.
So it's a prayer for the reestablishment of the sacrifices in Jerusalem. That second line is sort of a lot, I don't know. Sham Todan is Abeach is probably a line you know, from Psalm somewhere, I will offer a Thanksgiving sacrifice to you. So we're saying, may the temple be reestablished and I will offer sacrifices to you, sacrifices of gratitude. Le'et tachin matbeach. At that time, or at the time when you will establish a slaughter, mitzar hamenabeach, against the howling foe. Howling in modern Israeli noveach means barking. Minabeach is sharper than that. I don't know, snarling, barking, howling. Okay. Doesn't say who the foe is. At that time, az egmor b'shir mizmor chanukat hamizbeach. At that point, I will complete the, remember, what does the word chanukah mean? It just means dedication, because this is this is called the festival of dedication, because the Maccabees rededicated the temple after it was contaminated by the Syrian Greeks in the 160s BCE, right? So at that point in time, I will complete my song of praise. With songs of praise, I will complete the dedication of the altar. Okay? So opening verse means we long for the rebuilding of the temple when we will praise you. And Hashem, along the way, and this is harsh, okay, and I'm translating the, you know, this has been elided in a lot of the English translations because it's too harsh, and we're going to get back to different interpretations or changes of this line, line three, which is, in that future time, you will slaughter the howling enemies, okay? Then, is there any question about that verse? I'm just going to pause very briefly to see if there are questions. Then there are four verses which talk about four exiles or persecutions: Egyptian, Babylonian, Persian, and Greek. That's kind of the typology in rabbinic literature, like in the Talmud or the Midrash, of four kingdoms, sometimes likened to four beasts, right? So the classic four conquests or exiles in rabbinic consciousness. Okay. So the first one is about Egypt. I'm not going to go through all the words, but you see the last line. Can I get my cursor going? There it is. Chel, the last line is, here it starts. Ra'ot savanavshi, right? I had lots of suffering. Chayai meraru bikoshi. They embittered my life with hardship. So this is an echo of Shmot, of Exodus, right? First Parsha in Exodus. They embittered us with hard labor. And they took us out. Biado Hagdolah, God with God's great hand took us out. Chel Paro v'chol Saro yardu ke'evan bimtsula. Pharaoh's army went down like a stone into the water. That's an echo of what prayer that we say every morning that comes from the book of Exodus, right? Shirat Hayam. So a lot of this language is taken from the Bible. Okay. All right. So that, and by the way, for those of us who are into Haftorah plethora, Egypt is referred to by the epithet Malchut Egla, which literally means the calf kingdom, C-A-L-F, which is an echo of one of the prophets, I believe Ezekiel, because the bull is a religious symbol of Egypt. I can't remember who the bull represents, one of those Egyptian gods. If there's an Egyptologist among us, just shout out who the bull represents.
Here's Tova when we need
her. Right. So Ezekiel, the prophet, mocks Egypt by calling her the calf. Okay. So this is from one of our Haftarot. Okay. Next verse. God brought us to the temple, but there I sinned, I worshipped other gods, and I was exiled to Babylonia until Zerubbabel, the last line, the leader of the Jews in the restoration, came and rebuilt the second temple at the end of 70 years. All right? Third persecution, which is the fourth verse. Maybe I should have put in Roman numerals on the verses here. I didn't. Okay? Is about Agagi ben Hamedata. So for those of us who are regular shul goers, clear echo of who is the Agagi, son of Hamdata? Haman, referred to as Haman HaAgagi, right? So he He sought to cut down the tall tree, Mordechai, but in the end, he was hoisted on his own petard and his own gallows. Rosh Yemini Niseta, you lifted up the head of the Yemini, which is how Mordechai is referred to, the Benjaminite. And Haman's many sons were hung on the tree. Rov banav v'kinyanav, one of my favorite rhymes. Al ha'etz ta'ali'ita. Next verse, the verse that some people in liberal Jewish communities and day schools do sing, which is the verse about Hanukkah. This verse is important in terms of some of the words because some of the modern ones, a modern one that I'm going to show you. Yevanim nikbetsu alai, the Greeks gathered against me. Azai bimei chashmanim, then in the time of the Hasmoneans. For those who listen to this later, I'm at the top of page 2. Ufartsu chomot migalai, they broke through the walls of my towers. Vitimeu kol hashemanim, and contaminated all the oils. Umino tar kankanim naasa neis lashoshanim, and from the little remnant of the vials, there was a miracle. This is the rabbinic idea of what was the miracle of Hanukkah, right? The oil. B'nei vina, those who are wise or students of Torah. Yemei Shimona, for 8 days. Kav Ushir Urnanim, established singing and praising. So we have Hashem, please reestablish the temple where we will praise you. And then we have 4 verses, which are descriptions of the four exiles and persecutions, and they are Egypt, Babylonia, Persia, and Greeks, meaning Hellenists. Okay. Then there's a 6th verse. By the way, I'm going to scroll down. I'm going to scroll from the beginning, and I want you to look at the first letter of each verse and tell me who wrote this piyut. Okay, I'm scrolling. That's the first verse. 2nd verse.
Mordechai.
So someone named Mordechai, and we don't know who he was, and there's different opinions about who was this Mordechai. And then we have a 6th verse. And the 6th verse is controversial. Some scholars say it's not original. Apparently, it does not appear in any manuscripts, early manuscripts of Ma'os Tur until about the 17th century. So some scholars think it was added, and others say, no, it was self-censored out of manuscripts by the Jews themselves because it's about Christianity, which I'm going to read it with you in a moment. Okay? Chasof Zeroa Kodshecha, bear your holy arm. Vikarev Ketz HaYeshua, bring the end time of salvation. Nikom nikmat dam avadecha, avenge the blood of your servants. Me uma harasha'a, from the wicked kingdom. Ki archa lanu hasha'a, because this has gone on for so long. The ein ketz li mehara, there's no end to the bad times, meaning we are really suffering, God. When are you going to bear your mighty arm and save us? Okay. Dechei admon, push off or get rid of the red one. And this has to do with Edom. And Edom, as you probably know in from rabbinic literature, Midrash, is code word for Rome and Christianity. Okay. One scholar published an article saying admon, the red one, isn't just Edom. It actually refers to Friedrich Barbarossa, Frederick Redbeard, who was the emperor during the Third Crusade or something like that. So push off the red one, Esav, Bitzel Salmon, which could mean in the darkest shadow, or it could mean in the shadow of the crucifix. Hakem lanu ro'eh shiv'ah, established for us the 7 shepherds. Another Haftorah plethora reference. This refers to the prophet Zechariah, who says, God, in the end time, please establish for us the 7 good shepherds. The Davidic kingdom has been destroyed, and in the future give us 7 good leaders, kind of just a mythical concept. So on the one hand, by the way, and if you look at the first 3 letters of Chasof Zeroa Kodshecha. They spell out Chet Zayin Kuf Chazak. So we know that lots of Piyut authors signed it, you know, their name, and then Chazak, which means sort of, you know, may he continue to be vigorous or strong. So maybe it's part of the original Piyut. I'd like to point out, without the sixth verse, in some sense, the Piyut doesn't exactly make sense as a big piece, because we're saying, Hashem, please reestablish the temple. Now four verses about four terrible things that happened to us. End of poem. Not a great way to end a poem, right? Unless you said, which we don't know, that maybe Ma'asur was like a refrain that was repeated after every verse, then it might make sense. I don't believe there's any manuscript that indicates that. But the poem ends kind of flat. So we're telling you about four terrible exiles. So it actually makes sense, poetically, liturgically, that there's an ending, right? I told you about these four terrible exiles. And now I'm going to say, please, God, destroy this wicked kingdom under whom we are suffering, Edom, and reestablish. All right. Although, again, I want to point out, it does not go back to the theme of verse one, because the theme of verse one is really about reestablishing the temple. So you can see how this was appropriated for Hanukkah. It's not a giant stretch, okay? Because we're talking about verse one, Azeg Mor Bashir Mizmor Chanukat HaMizbeach. Then in the future, I will sing and praise at the time of the dedication, rededication of the future altar in the third temple in Mashiach times. And there is a verse about Hanukkah. So you can understand how it was appropriated for Hanukkah. And you can also see fairly clearly it wasn't written originally about Hanukkah. It's about Hashem, please, we long for the restoration of the Beit HaMikdash. We will sing your praises. Here are four terrible exiles we've suffered. And then maybe this final verse, which is the fifth one. And you can understand, you could see how the fifth one is a little different than the middle four. You can see why it might be added. You could see, you could understand the theory about, oh, it was self-censored out by the Jews. We do know that besides Christian censorship of Jewish manuscripts, because of Christian censorship in medieval Christian Europe, Jews did sometimes self-censor to avoid Christians burning manuscripts. So that's open for debate, and we are not going to debate it. I'm just sort of going to leave it out there, because I want to get to some newer interpretations. So I'll pause for questions before we get to newer interpretations. Larry.
One comment and one question. The comment is, in the Sim Shalom on page 193, there's no translations, there's a little commentary of anything other than the first verse, and they don't include the last verse at all. Just a comment, you don't have to answer it. It's a little bit bizarre. They don't even explain why they don't translate that.
Okay.
And my question is, since this was written, according, you said the Middle Ages, according to the Koren Sidur, Rabbi Sachs, was written in the 13th century, it would seem that they left out a description of one exile, and that would be the destruction of the Second Temple. So is it possible to interpret the very last verse as somewhat abstractly being about the destruction of the Second Temple, because Edom is also Rome?
Okay. Sure. Maybe. Okay. But still, it's not written then. It's written significantly later. I mean, we know it's written significantly later because there's no evidence of it anywhere prior to the 13th century, 14th century. By the way, although this was clearly written in medieval Europe, probably because it's referring to, you know, the cross, it was adopted in Sephardic communities as well. Apparently, everyone does Ma'asur except for Yemenites. Yemenites, unknown. I read this in a Wikipedia article last night, my deep research. Okay. Any other quick questions, comments? I want to move forward to more contemporary things. All right. So, first of all, there is a Christian hymn called Rock of Ages. step back. The melody, apparently the sort of universal melody of Ma'oz Tzur that we all know and love, goes back, Wikipedia said, like maybe 200-300 years, something like that. Probably at least, probably taken from a European non-Jewish melody. There is a Christian hymn, Rock of Ages, which, except for the words Rock of Ages, has nothing to do and doesn't sound like it's a translation of Ma'oz Tzur. So you might go to a church. I've actually heard it. You can go on YouTube. There are hymnal versions, Christian versions of Rock of Ages, and it's all about the water and the blood and Christian stuff. So it really has nothing to do with Ma'oz Tzur. Okay. Except for someone like the phrase. Apparently there was in the 1800s, a German translation, German Jewish translation for Jews of Ma'oz Tzur, which was then sort of translated into English around the year 1900 by our very own Jastrow of Jastrow's Talmudic Dictionary and Gustav Gottheil. And that is the old fashioned English Rock of Ages that some of you know, Rock of Ages, let our song praise thy saving power. But if you look at it carefully, now that you understand what it's about, it's not really a translation of Ma'oz Tzur. It's not 100% off, right? Brought to their God, their offering and his court surrounding, here in joy abounding, happy throngs, singing songs with a mighty sounding. Okay, I get how that's the idea of coming back to the temple. Yeah, okay. But it's not really a translation. And then my favorite, the third verse. In English, apparently, Jastrow only has three verses. Children are just my favorite line. Children of the martyr race. Okay. Whether free or fettered, wake the echoes of the songs where you may be scattered. Yours the message cheering that the time is nearing, which will see all men free, tyrants disappearing. Very nice enlightenment thinking for modern Western Jews. So it's not exactly a translation. I mean, it's certainly not a translation, but it's not like 100% on a different topic. Let's put it that way. Okay. Rabbi Hertz, chief rabbi of the British Empire, he famous of the blue Hertz Chumash that we all grew up with, he made a change. He did not like Le'et Tachin Matbeach Mitzar Hamanabeach, at the time where you prepare a slaughter against the howling enemies. That means Hashem, please slaughter our enemies. Okay, that's what it means. So Hertz amended. Instead of Le'et Tachin, I put it in bold. This is on, if you're at home, it's on page 3. Okay. He amended. Instead of le'et tachin, le'et tashbit, from the word, it's a causative, he feel, from the word shavat, to cease. So tashbit means to cause, to cease. So it means at that time, you will cause the slaughter to cease. Hertz actually kind of reverses the meaning, right? In the original, the slaughter is God, you slaughter the enemies. In Hertz's emendation, it's God, please stop the slaughtering of us on the part of our enemies. So it actually totally reverses who's doing the slaughtering. Le'et tashbit matbeach vitzar hamanabeach. So at that time, please get rid of or cause to cease the slaughter and the howling enemy. So it's not the slaughter that God is going to do. It's God stop the slaughter. This, of course, is very poignant, pregnant at this moment in Jewish history. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. I'm going to get to this year's versions of Ma'oz Tzur. But Hertz didn't like this idea. Espasnished, that we should be praying for the slaughter of our enemies. So he changed this line. In the Reconstructionist Sidur, apparently in 1945, which I haven't seen with my own eyes, but I read it online, they changed it. They have Tashbit also, Le'et Tashbit Matbeach. So I guess either It's unlikely that Hertz borrowed it from Reconstructionists. Maybe they borrowed it from Hertz. Maybe it was floating around in the 40s. I don't really know. But notice they make a couple of other chains. Tikkun Beitefilati Uvishir Toda Ninatzeheach. And with a song of thanksgiving, we will sing like La Menatzeach, although it also can mean we'll be victorious. Why did they change we will Nizabeach, sacrifice a Todah, a Thanksgiving offering, to we will sing a Thanksgiving song?
Not interested in bringing sacrifices.
Correct.
Back.
Rebuilding of the temple. So theologically, this would not be Reconstructionist, rebuilding the temple, offering sacrifices. So they change that. And then they have Le'et Tashbit Matbeach, like Hertz, right? Cause the cessation of the slaughter. Vitzar Tishakeach, and cause the enemy to be forgotten. Okay? So they go further, they say, stop the slaughter, get rid of the enemies. When violence is abolished and the sound of battle stilled, that is the Reconstructionist loose translation of that line. Okay? They still have, by the way, dedication of the altar. So somehow they didn't get rid of the temple entirely. Okay? But they did change Thanksgiving offering to Thanksgiving song. Okay, so these were some modern, not contemporary, modern changes to that line. All right, we're running out of time. Okay, hot off the presses. So this is floating around on the internet. Vered Noam, who's a scholar in Israel, a Talmudist, this verse is attributed to her this year. I haven't seen it in her own hand. It was forwarded to me. Someone said, this is Vered Noam's verse. I'm going to try to put something else, if I can, in the printed version. My wife, Debbie, sent me another new verse for this year, also about contemporary events. So I guess this year people are trying to write another verse for Ma'os Sur. This is harsh. It's a harsh moment. You're not children. I'm not going to protect you. Okay. From the harshness. Anshei Hamas Tzavu Alai. And by the way, this is a pun because, of course, Hamas means violence, but it's also Hamas. And the name of Hamas, the terrorist organization, it's an acronym for something in Arabic. I don't know what, but the mem is, you know, it's Muslim Brotherhood. The mem is for Muslimi. I don't know what the other, anyone know what the Chet and the Samech actually stand for in Hamas's name? I don't really know, but it's the Muslim Brotherhood, something or other, three words, right? So, the people of Hamas, or the people of violence, double entendre, Tzavu Alai, thronged against me or attacked me. Literally, it means armied against me. Biyom Atzeret Bashmini, Birish Atam Partu Givulai. In their wickedness, they broke through my borders. Tavchu Banai. Shahavu Tzoni, they slaughtered my children. They took as captives my flock. Okay. So she has the matbeach in there, right? The same root, but she makes it clear who's doing the slaughtering. Okay. I also want to point out, Berisha Tam Partsu Givulai, Lifrots, like the word Ufaratsa, which means to burst forth or burst through. They burst through my borders. That is clearly on her part an intentional echo of the Greeks, Ufaretsu Chomot Migdalai, right? They burst through the walls of my towers, meaning of Jerusalem, the Greeks, in verse 5 in the original. All right, so she's trying to use some of the same language. Givurat bin Banai Orarta, you stirred my children's might. Azat panim erarta, you cursed the impudent ones, arrogant ones. Meche chotef uvne otef, wipe out the kidnapper and rebuild the otef. The otef means the envelope. It's the Israeli term for the Israeli communities near Gaza. That whole area is called Otef Gaza. It's called the Gaza envelope because these are actually communities that were built around Gaza. So that whole region that was attacked and is now where the massacres were and which is now evacuated is commonly called in Israel Otef Gaza. It's a region. So wipe out the kidnapper and build, which means rebuild, the Otef, the envelope. Rachem Tzion Kasher Dibarta, rebuild Zion as you promised. I sent this to a friend, and her response was, too soon. That was her response to this verse. Okay. But I'm just sort of putting it out there. And again, I'm going to try to put in the chat in Hebrew, and I'll, by the way, that I should put it in there. That English translation is mine. I'm going to try to put another one in. Realistically, I'm not going to get it out today. I might get it out by tomorrow because I want to add that another one also. By the way, I'm going to stop sharing. And of course, for all I know, I mean, I gave you one Hebrew version. My wife Debbie said, "Well, I got another Hebrew version from my friends in Israel." So for all I know, there's more than two this year. There's another one that I didn't bring you. Because I didn't have, I realized I put it in, then I took it out. I realized I didn't have the permission of the person, but there's a, I'm going to ask for his permission and then I'm going to try to include it in the sheet. There's, a rabbi who apparently wrote a version in the 90s and there are other versions that have been written like this where he wrote it in Hebrew and translated into English a couple of verses, which is totally not about fighting. It's about the light of Hanukkah, illumination, add illumination to our life. Bring justice to the world. So there are, you know, contemporary people who look at these verses of Ma'oz Tzur and they say, look, this is a vestige of another era where we feel persecuted and are therefore, for lack of a better term, angry and ask God to, avenge the suffering, avenge violence with more violence. And so there are people in the last few decades prior to this year who've looked at Ma'oz Tzur and say, well, I don't really like that. Okay, I'm going to write some other verses about light and illumination and uplifting things, right? Because they want to transform the message of Hanukkah from bad people try to kill me, God, please kill the bad people, to transform it to the message of light and illumination and adding more light to the world. So I'm going to try to get that rabbi's permission to include that. So it's going to take me a day or two before I'm going to post the thing. And then I'm going to encourage you between now and next week to look at it. I will remind you of this next week. I'll say, go back to last week. I put the thing in there. Okay. Pause. We're just going to take 2-3 minutes, question, comment, thoughts. So anyway, Ma'oz Tzur, we learned it. I'm not making any editorialization or voting or anything like that. That's not my job. I'm just here to teach. Larry.
So first of all, Hamas is harakat al mukawama al islamia.
Ah, the mem is not Muslimia. Okay, which means
Islamic Resistance Movement.
Thank you.
Secondly,
also called in English, the Gaza branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Secondly, right. Whenever anybody quotes Rabbi Hertz, Joseph Herman Hertz, I remind them that he was kicked out of Transvaal by Paul Kruger, and he came to Mozambique, and he established the first organized Jewish community in Mozambique in the years 1899-1900.
Whoa, thank you. So he's actually South African originally?
No, he was British, and he came down to the Transvaal, and then he was kicked out by Paul Kruger. Okay. It's a long story, which I'll share with
you. Thank you very much. That would definitely be – I'm gonna between now and when I bump into you, Larry, I'm going to Wikipedia that. Okay. And thank you for illuminating. Yeah.
Finally, I just think that what you've done is an excellent example of how we continue to use not just verse, but liturgy to try to understand and to grapple with the events that are taking place today. So I think it's interesting to collect all of these modern versions.
Liturgy evolves. Right. Right. So last night I took out the uplifting illumination version Because I said, oh, I don't actually have permission to use that. And so we'll just forget that. And then this morning I thought, like, no, 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 I actually want to include that in the teaching. Because again, liturgy evolved. By the way, for all I know, you know, how many other people have written versions of that? I don't know. These are just the things that I've come across floating around the internet. So liturgy is alive and evolves sometimes. Yes. Right. So because this is a beloved melody, because it is sort of universally known, it's kind of an easy, hey, let's write a new verse to this that fits what we want to say. So I'll try to accumulate more of that material for you before I post it with the class. Other thoughts, questions, comments? Larry, you're still muted. I do want us to hear you.
One more thing, which is if you listen to the majority of people who sing it, they all sing Ma Otsur. They don't say Ma Oz. Sure.
All right. I've never listened to them because I'm too busy singing, so I can't hear them. Okay. So I'm going to close on the note and say the Siddur, you know, which again, Jewish tradition, a lot of people come to it and superficially it seems like, oh, it's this dead letter of something from long ago that we're kind of stuck with, right? Liturgy is alive. Liturgy evolves. And on that note, I will say, have a happy Hanukkah, and tonight is Rosh Chodesh, a good month, and pray for a month of some peace and peaceful resolution. And God willing, we'll meet again next week. That'll be our last week before a one-month break, and we're going to go back to the Bible material. I'm just going to sort of overview and recapitulate it.
You have been listening to another in our series of podcasts from Temple Beth Am, a dynamic center for conservative Judaism in Los Angeles. If you enjoy these podcasts, we invite you to write a review on the Apple Podcast site or wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about Temple Beth Am, Los Angeles, go to tbala.org.